Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Guantanamo Bay, shivering coldly in my little Gitmo blanket that I got from the Sesame Street set. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com, tune in 5 days a week. And I had a realization this morning. I think one of the listeners who called in a couple of days ago, Tim, he sent me an email, and it kind of dawns on me that there's two really important elements to the show. Most important element is obviously me doing the job that needs to be done, you know, organizing the guests and doing the show 2 hours a day. We're now doing interviews after each show and then editing those and uploading them. They're going to be YouTube videos. You can check them out at Mr. News Guerrilla Media. The second most important part of the show, after all the work that I do, is the work all the listeners do. Okay, and here's what I mean by that. I have met and been told by many people in very recent times that they have told people about the Vinnie Eastwood Show, or they've been told by friends about the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and now they listen practically every day. And it dawns on me that, man, they do, like, the listeners themselves who are trying to convince other people to listen to this or just mentioning the show or anything like that, that's a lot of work if I had to do it myself. I'd literally have to work 1,000 times harder. So thank you very much. That is quite spectacularly astounding, and I'm really humbled and grateful that people actually really dig the show. You know, I do my best. But the best part of the show, the third most important, is all the guests that we have on who are ridiculously fabulous, talented, interesting people, some of which used to be high workers and globalist organizations blowing the whistle, some of which are activists in their local community, always reaching out with their little feet of tentacles, finding out the various machinations of scumbaggery in their local neck of the woods. And those people that I refer to are now, as far as I'm concerned, the reporters that are replacing the mainstream media. Okay, people used to investigate, you know, and then report, and now it seems that the activists are the only people that are doing any investigation anymore. Okay, but they lack the technical skill or a platform in many cases to actually get those words out to a further thing. It's about amplifying those voices that people really need to hear. That is the main point of the show. Other than that, the one rule is to have fun. Okay? So thank you very much for everybody who listens. And if you want to continue to help the show grow and keep me on my feet so I can keep doing this work, please, by all means, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com or guerrillamedia.co.nz and subscribe for $5 a month or $5 a week or make a donation or whatever. We've received several $100 donations within the last few weeks, which have been absolutely really, really helpful to paying the costs that we have here, website hosting, paying for the internet bills, general food and rent and what have you, because I have to do this full time. It requires that much attention. And I find that you either have two choices. You have to either A, be owned by some by somebody else in order to do it and get paid for it, or B, you have to serve the people who actually use the service. Okay, and I think my service is to the people, to the planet, to my country, and against all those scumbaggery filth that would wish to destroy it. And I feel it's something that we all must do eventually, take responsibility and play what little part we can to free humanity from the clutches of the evil, vampirical scumbaggery, New World Order filth. Now, we also have on the show people that you probably never heard of, some of which don't even have websites, but have interesting stories nonetheless, because, hey, if anybody's ever been at a party before, You'll be surprised at just how many interesting people you can wind up talking to through the course of the night and just have a right hot time with. And it's always fun to chat with new and interesting people from all over the world. Today we have Darren Keith Williams coming at us live from the Uber Kingdom in Liverpool. Darren, welcome to the program.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Wait till I melt all your brains like Fukushima.
Hey, speaking of Fukushima, hold on a second. I just saw an article, this one. Here we are. First article from Washington's blog, Fukushima radiation spreads worldwide. Second article from Sunshine Coast Daily, radiation cloud not harmful. radiation's not harmful. I love that. Do we have any physicists out there? You know, we're broadcasting live from the sunny slave South Pacific here, fully irradiated, where everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. So, Darren, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what woke you up to the New World Order?
Well, what woke me up to it was Liverpool, if people don't know it. People maybe know it from either the Beatles, the Fab Four, She Loves You, Yeah, 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 and also the football or the soccer. But my experience of the city is that it's amazingly edgy. It feels like one incident and it's going to be a full-blown riot. But then the people can be extremely human and kind like no other in Britain. It's almost got its own unique national identity. So in a way, I was separate from the Borg hive that was getting basically brainwashed via the BBC and other mainstream media. So instantly as a Scouser, you are different from the rest. And because of that, you are hated by the rest. So once you leave your homeland, you go to other cities such as Manchester, Sheffield, Birmingham, London. You are getting a lot of negativity, even xenophobia, cultural xenophobia, maybe racism. I don't know what you want to call it. But immediately as a Scouser, you are different. So you are instantly in some way woken up, or you're partially thawed, if you want to look at it that way, whilst the rest of Britain is frozen like the weather. But on a personal tip, it was Arthur C. Clarke, a guy called Arthur C. Clarke back in the day, had this show in the 80s when I was about maybe 10 years old. I'm now 35. And it was around just ancient mysteries, around basically the people in the past had more sophistication in some ways than what we do now. For instance, there's whopping big granite stones in Lebanon that modern machinery can't lift, but somehow they actually carved them out of the quarry, moved them and built them on a temple on a hill. So that got me thinking, and then I'd go to teachers and I'd be like, well, what's the score with this? And they'd be like, shut up, Darren, turn to page 22. And I'm like, well, miss, I seen this last night. What's this about? And she'd be like, shut up, Darren, turn to page 22. So I'm thinking page 22 is about vowels. I've just seen this on the telly last night. My mind's buzzing and all this type of stuff. And you just want me to look at vowels. Whilst I'm not dissing vowels, when you're about 10 years old, you can understand this type of enthusiasm. So then I realised that there was a lot of this Borg hive mentality going on. And then the other thing as well that got me was obviously sci-fi, because sci-fi presents this view of the future like Star Trek, The Next Generation, where nobody's looking at you because you're a black guy, or nobody's looking at you because you're blind, or nobody's looking at you because you're a fit woman in a cat suit with nice curves. They're just looking at you because you can do data, do the job, and get it done. And that's a nice idealistic world. So then you start looking at the real world, saying, why can't it be like Star Trek? But the thing that got me was just really in a geopolitical sense, I just think it was Iran-Contra. It was just like watching it as a kid on British television saying, yet the American government is involved in covert drug dealing with South American drug dealers, paramilitaries, and the Iranians, who are actually the enemies at the same time. And, you know, you're watching it and the newsreader's just like, and now the weather. And I'm like, wait, brother, you just said on blast, You just put it out there on the BBC 6 o'clock news that Yankee is dealing with the enemies, giving the enemies weapons, and then to getting the Yayo from the Colombian jungle, and then everybody's still enemies, but then everybody's still friends. What is going on here? So you talk about in the playground, people are like, oh, shut up, Dad. And I was like, it's on the news. Everyone's talking about the latest soap opera, Neighbours, Home and Away. It was big back in the day. Them Australians have got a lot to answer for, I tell you. So anyway, that got me. And then obviously Princess Diana, because as you may hear from my voice, I'm mixed race. I'm half white, I'm half black. So because of that, obviously, again, I'm ostracised from the mainstream society, which means that I can actually observe and analyse it rather than just think it's the wonderful land of make-believe. So Diana passed away, and the word on the street, you know, you just heard it from people. I heard it from just elderly people, and Liverpool being the place it is as well. You go to people saying, oh, Diana's dead, and some elderly woman in the local supermarket's like, yeah, they bumped her off. And it's like, okay, okay, right then, what do you know? I don't know. Are you down with the Queen? What's going on here? So then you start reading stuff between the lines, and she said that, like, she was fearing for her life. The brakes on her car were going to go. Then she did have a car accident, and then nobody's talking about it. And then this is proof, people. This is proof. You can the Star page it, Google it, do this. After the car accident, Mercedes-Benz had a massive big drop in their share price. Mercedes-Benz, along with Volvo cars, viewed themselves as the safest cars in the world. So because of that accident, and then it came out, there was carbon monoxide leaking out of the engine or wherever into the passengers. And the
guy, you know what they need? They need an MI6-proof Mercedes-Benz.
I wouldn't go in it, I'll tell you that. I would go not with MI6.
Well, see, the thing that I love about the Diana thing is that I think they were going from a hotel to somewhere else, and they went in a really strange route. Like it took like 2-3 times as long to take this particular route as the most direct one. Along that extra long route, there were 14 security cameras. Each and every single one of those security cameras magically failed on that one particular night, so they didn't capture anything.
Exactly.
And they got, get this. The paparazzo who was allegedly following them was found burned to death in his car. Okay, and get this. This is the interesting part. Nobody in Europe's history ever has burned themselves to death in their own car. Ever. It's never happened.
No, he was bought. And what did he say? The keys for the car were actually in his house. So, some weird anomaly. But going back to Mercedes-Benz, they're bugging out. All these rich people are saying, right, I don't want my latest S-Class. I'll go with BMW. So they go to the French police and they just say, when you've done with the car, can we have the car to do extensive testing? The French police say, fine, yeah, sure, no worries. Mercedes-Benz, in the meantime, goes through every vehicle in their current range. We're talking from ice cream vans to S-Class ambassador vehicles to find if there is any type of carbon monoxide thing going on. They didn't find nothing. Then all of a sudden, Mercedes-Benz are like, no, we don't want it no more. We're not answering any questions on the carbon monoxide. And I'm thinking, wait there, you're bugging out, you've lost millions, you've asked for the vehicle. Now when the French police are saying, right, you can have the vehicle to do your own testing, you're like, no, cool, it's okay. So that's what people have to do. People have to kind of just take this thing on face value and think that newsreader reading the news is your mate. You don't know that newsreader just as much as you, the listeners, don't know me talking now. But the only difference is I'm telling you as it is. I'm telling you as it is real. And that is it. I've got nobody in my ear saying, I can't say this, I can't say that. I will say as I feel, and that's what we've all got to do. We've got to believe in what we've got to believe in. That person reading the news has most probably gone through extensive psychological profiling to make sure they will not rebel, they will not put anybody on blast. That is their job. And then most probably the cherry on the cake, again, I'm theorising, I've got no angle on this, but if you did say something, newsreader, we know where you live. So there you go. People have to do official secret sacks, D notices, as we call them in England. So there's all this type of thing. And then obviously there's the 9/11 business, you know what I mean? Like the magic passport. Again, I'm not going to go into that. That's a bit of fun for the listeners to do, to join the dots. Just do 9/11 magic passport and you decide why is it called the magic passport. And again, the other thing, we're talking the Pentagon. The Pentagon is the most CCTV building on this planet. I am telling you now. And all they've released is some footage out of some 1992 CCTV camera, freeze frame, 3 second business. Come on, man. What did they say? They're saying because it's propaganda purposes, they're not going to release the proper image and it's disrespectful to the families of those that died. Well, you see in the Twin Towers all the time. They're always putting it on mainstream news in England. So that's another thing you've got to ask yourself. What were the processes? What were the procedures? But going back to the Arthur C. Clarke thing now, to put it full circle, I think what we've all got to do is we've all got to go to the beginning of the problem. We've all got to go to the origins of what things are. For instance, when AIDS was discovered, they said
I'm sorry,
it was through...
Darren, we've got to actually leave it there. Oh, no, thank you for your contributions for the show today. Coming up after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskoda, on Stranger Advice, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Some kind of way out of here.
Detainee to the Gitmo Guard. There must be some kind of way out of here. And some way to slip off these shackles that are on my wrists and on my ankles. Anyway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The most diabolical, torturous 2 hours in talk radio. My very special guest, I believe, is on the line. The famous, fabulous, consistent, and ultimately real awesome, Kevin Barrett from Truth Jihad Radio on American Freedom Radio. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you. Vinny, you're pretty fantastic yourself.
I know. But let's hear about you, Kevin. How did you wake up to the New World Order? And also, preface for the listeners, just a little bit about who you are and what you do. Because I notice sometimes when radio show hosts, what they'll do is they'll be sent a bio on somebody. And what I've noticed is that no bio ever explains a person better than the person themselves.
Well, and that's especially true if the bio in question is from Wikipedia and it's been the target of all kinds of subterfuge by propagandists, which is the case with my Wikipedia bio. So I can always tell when people use that.
Especially because Wikipedia is blacked out right now. So we have Kevin Barrett.
Thank goodness.
Truth Jihad Radio, and he's, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, I'm the world's most outrageous Muslim 9/11 truth activist, let's put it that way. And how I got to be there, well, I used to study literature in college, and well, I started with journalism, and then I realized that everything was just made up anyway, and so the best writing was the writing that admitted that it was sort of just making things up, which is literature. So I got a bunch of advanced degrees in literature, and then finally got interested in spirituality. I came to Islam in 1993. And I ended up getting a PhD in Arabic Islamic studies, focus on Morocco and Moroccan Sufism and storytelling. And then in 2001, 9/11 came along, and I knew something was a little off there. A couple years later, I actually looked into it closely enough to realize it was an obvious put-on, false flag up. And that just kind of pissed me off. So I kind of gave up literature for politics, and I've been doing my best to give the New World Order a big pain in whatever organs that it has ever since.
Well, think about this. When you wake up to the New World Order, the thing that kind of strikes people is that, what can I do about it? And I was talking to a friend of mine last night about this, and that was what he was trying to figure out. I said to him, okay, do you think you can defeat the Illuminati on your own? No. Do you think you can clean up all the crackheads in Auckland on your own? No. Okay, so what can I do? And the thing is, it's about education, ultimately. The only way to accomplish something really big is with more people. And the more educated all those other people are, the better, essentially. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, what I'm doing now is education by other means. You know, I used to be in the university system, and, well, honestly, I think that what you're doing and what I'm doing at American Freedom Radio is a lot more educational than most of what gets done at the major universities.
Yeah, well, I went to a major university, two, actually. I did 1 year in each. And you know what, Kevin? I can't remember a single thing that I've ever learnt at university. Why? Because nothing actually had any value at all. None of the knowledge that they taught me was useful.
Well, that's unfortunate. You know, I can't quite say the same, because in literature classes, you get these reading lists, and most of the stuff that you read is actually pretty good. So no matter how crappy the criticism and no matter how lousy the gobbledygook and the gibberish of the, you know, critics, there's still that kind of basic looking for the best stuff to read that's been written down through the centuries and the millennia and reading it and thinking about it. So for that reason, I don't really regret spending $100,000 taking out student loans so I could become a literature expert. There are worse ways to waste your life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing that woke me up to university being a bit of a scam was, you know how sometimes you get that impetus, like a subject really takes you, and you really do put the effort in right then, you know, suddenly you're serious, and you're doing all the referencing, you're doing all the reading for once, and getting it all done, and then you wind up getting a worse grade than when you put in virtually no effort, and The subject that I was talking about was an anti-television discourse, just saying how television is done in sort of like 30-second blocks on the news, and it's the "and now this" phenomenon, and it basically makes everybody completely forget what they just saw and makes the news almost irrelevant to completely distract people, and that it, in that sense, distraction was the real causality behind television, is to simply distract people from their own lives and their abilities to think for themselves. And
you got a bad grade for that?
And interestingly enough, all the reading sources and everything that were on the recommended reading list agreed with exactly what my opinion was to start off with. Then that's why I got all these references and everything in there. And as soon as I got a D, I was just like, you know what? I see through this now. I'm getting out of here. And I haven't been back, and I'm very glad of it.
Well, you know, I think the more professional training you get in the university, the worse it is. You know, I did spend some time in journalism school and communications, and I had some real problems there. I remember once I caused a big scandal because I don't remember the details, but I did some kind of humorous, satirical thing with a supposed news broadcast, and the advisor or whoever the adult was who was supervising the student radio station just blew up and went crazy on me. You know, so the more they think that they have some professional preserve to protect, you know, the stupider they are. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I guess it's better to, you know, today we have places like American Freedom Radio where you can just come on and have fun and do your thing and do it well, and you don't have people like that breathing down your neck. So thank goodness for that.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is the great thing about American Freedom Radio and humanity as a whole now, is that people are, as they say, it's become a truth of cliche, don't you think? People are waking up.
Yeah, but, you know, like so many cliches, there's an element of truth behind it. That's why it's a cliche.
Just like stereotypes.
There you go.
That's why stereotypes exist, because they're stereotypical.
Indeed. And if you have a stereotype, the stereotypes exist because they're stereotypically true. Well, that stereotype confirms itself, as so many do. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking with Lori Price earlier on my show today, about how the Internet is indeed, you know, quote-unquote, waking people up, or, you know, taking the blindfolds off the sheeple and so on. And I think that the powers that be are a little worried about that, and they're, you know, they're firing these, you know, bullets in the path of the Internet train. They're setting up trial balloons to see if they can try and slow it down or control it. And I don't think they have a whole lot of choices. You know, they can't take down the Internet because they'll lose the economy. And so much of the economy is already tied into a relatively free Internet that when they try to restrict it, the big guys like Google you know, say, and you know, Wikipedia and stuff, say, no thanks, don't do that. And yeah, so we're in for a really interesting next decade or two. You still there, Vinny?
I find that this decade is kind of one of the most important to ever, you know, strike out at us in history, kind of thing. You know, it's when you're standing on a precipice, you've got that sort of fear of the unknown, but also the excitement of the unknown to mix it up with. It's like you're, I don't know, like a blueberry and cherry slushy.
I mean, I'm having to think about that one because, you know, here in Wisconsin, you're in New Zealand, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm here in Wisconsin, USA, and we just got this, like, gigantic snowstorm, and it's, like, 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which is way, way negative Celsius for all of you barbarians out there who don't use the parochial American standards. So the slushy, right? Now, thinking about a slushy, when we're just covered with this freezing cold snow, it's hard to wrap my mind around, like, anybody who would actually buy one and taste one at this point. But if you flew me to New Zealand, where you're probably having nice weather, I would be happy to have a blueberry and cherry slushy with you.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the thing that I kind of wanted to get out of you, Kevin, was actually to plug your websites as well, because you've been doing this for quite some time, haven't you?
Well, since about 2000, I've been doing 9/11 truth activism with, you know, spending a lot of time on that since 2004, and I've been doing radio since 2006.
So what actually woke you up to the New World Order?
Well, you know, Vinny, I've noticed that there's been a lot of corruption and that the media won't report the truth about things like, you know, Kennedy assassinations and so on, that the power structure is veiled and nefarious. I mean, I've known that pretty much just about all my life since I was, like, in ninth grade and went to see Mark Lane talk about the JFK assassination. I mean, so I wasn't born yesterday, but I didn't realize how bad it was until, you know, 2003, when I heard David Ray Griffin was writing his new Pearl Harbor book about 9/11, and I sat down and took a look at the, you know, the images of the World Trade Center being blown up, and, you know, nothing, you know, no big plane at the Pentagon and stuff, and said, holy man, I didn't realize it was this bad. So at that point, you know, I realized that the media was not just a little bit corrupt and vacuous, but, you know, it was full-time evil propaganda working for some very, very evil people and putting out just, you know, preposterous Orwellian lies. And that was still kind of shocking to me, even at that point. At that point I realized, well, there's something major going on here. What could it be? And I think the term New World Order, which I would never have embraced 10 years ago as an explanation for what's going on, I think it actually has a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, yeah. And as a Muslim, I mean, it's a different perspective for you, isn't it? And my perspective on Muslims is that you got to have a lot of respect for them, because although they get treated like Shiite, they still maintain a Sunni disposition.
We try. I think they're a little too Sunni of a disposition sometimes. I would like to see Muslims be a bit more, you know, radical and, you know, angry and all these, you know, stereotypical things that they're supposed to be but aren't. You know, most Muslims are so tame and you know, friendly and kind of, you know, not standing up for their rights. And that's what drives me crazy. You know, we need more radical, crazy Muslims like you see in those Israeli pictures.
I think it's like whenever you try to demonize people, there's a really, really good film and book called Real Bad Arabs, like R-E-E-L.
Oh, yeah, I've read that. Great. Jack Sheehan.
Yeah, yeah. So it comes to mind that, yes, there is a deliberate agenda to demonize Muslims worldwide. Why? Well, hold on a second. Where's the next dominion of Israel supposed to be? The Middle East. What bunch of people actually currently occupy the Middle East? Muslims. Oh, yeah. Good idea to demonize them. That way people won't be upset when you depleted uranium shell them and have a quarter of their babies born deformed.
Yeah, pretty much. And don't forget that Islam still takes its ban on usury seriously. We don't countenance any kind of lending at interest. And that really puts the banksters out of business, if you take that seriously. And so I think the banksters are a little bit concerned that Islam is the fastest growing religion on the planet, and it's made up of 1.5 billion plus people who don't want to partake of usury.
I found the moral ethic code of the Islamic world was quite interesting as well. Like, there's virtually no divorce, virtually no adultery or anything like that, and it's fairly obvious to see, because the women who voluntarily wear the headscarf and all of that kind of stuff, they're not wearing mini skirts and all of that kind of show off, look at me, look at my boobies kind of carry on. So it'd be difficult to see somebody actually going, oh yeah, I'd like a piece of that, because all you can see is a cloak.
Right, and you know, a lot of today we hear in the West about the Muslims are so backwards because they're so puritanical, and they're not with it with the sexual revolution, and they're not into all these newfangled approaches to sexuality. Well, 100 years ago, it was the opposite. The propaganda against the Muslims then was that Muslims are a bunch of licentious, you know, wild and crazy, you know, sexually active people. They enjoy sex way too much. They have lots of wives. You know, the wives can sue the husbands for sexual pleasure. Blah blah blah. You know, it was the exact opposite, and the truth of the matter is that Islam hasn't changed. It's basically pretty balanced. You know, it's pro-sexual pleasure within marriage, but you got to be married because, you know, you got to take responsibility for your offspring. Very, very balanced, well-balanced and sensible. The West has gone from being insanely puritanical and Victorian 100 years ago to being out of control, licentious and libertine today.
It strikes me as a strange situation that we find ourselves in, where people are played off against each other. There's this way, there's that way to live, there's this God to believe in, there's that version of God to believe in. And the fact of the matter is, we're all human beings. We still need air, food, shelter, and we don't want to be killed or maimed or treated in horrible, terrible ways. So it matters not your beliefs. It matters whether or not you're still human. And I feel that the New World Order, they almost don't even see themselves as humans anymore.
Well, that's right. They're the foremost exponents of transhumanism. Yeah, they're, you know, this is the Nietzschean Superman philosophy, the Leo Strauss, you know, neo-Nazi Carl Schmitt idea of a leading vanguard of post-humans, superhumans who are better than everybody else, and they can basically treat all the rest of us like cattle. And we do have to unite against those people.
Yeah, we do have a great lack of concern for our fellow man sometimes, and it's very sad to see. Well, anyway, thank you, Kevin, for coming on with me today. I'm sure you're only able to do this segment. I mean, I'd love it if you'd stay on, but if you can't, I understand.
Well, I could do one more.
Okay, we'll have Kevin Barrett on for one more segment, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't you lucky? I certainly feel lucky. We'll be right back after the break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices steadied above $16.50 an ounce despite profit taking in a weaker dollar. Gold last traded at $16.57, silver at $30.62 an ounce. Gold is still in a super bull market, according to one senior editor at CNBC. After bottoming out the last day of 2011, gold is up 5% for the year compared to 3.9% for the S&P 500. As long as print and inflate is policy, this bull market will continue. You know, the highway to a socialist welfare state is a carpet of government fiat paper, writes Craig Smith and Lowell Ponte in a new white paper, Remaking Money. The path back to practical and moral values of America's founders requires to restore the precious metals they constitutionally specified as real money. Everyone decided to convert his or her paper money into metal and stopped accepting paper money, wrote Alan Greenspan. Government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show where you never know which way it's going to go. My very special guest joining us, very generous with his time, and I find that's very true of most people in the truth movement. They're in it to get the truth out. They're not in it for the money. If they were, they'd have to be clinically insane because there's very little money in the truth. Kevin Barrett is my guest. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Vinny. Yeah, you said it. It's you know, we sometimes get accused of indulging in conspiracy theories for the money, and I don't know if that might have been true back in the day of the JFK assassination. I think there were a couple of books that sold pretty well and did okay for their authors. But today, you know, even if you do manage to publish a book, you know, you'll maybe sell a few thousand copies as a success these days, you know, because nobody reads books anymore. It's not a paid gig. It's, you know, it's a labor of love, as you know.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I love my country. I love talking to people. I love exposing scumbaggery. So naturally, I became... so, you know, it just kind of slitted in nicely, like a wee puzzle piece.
There you go. Yeah, I enjoy those activities as well. You know, it's quite satisfying. It's also nice to be able to meet all of the best, most interesting people. And it's kind of a ticket to that. You know, that's the cool thing about these radio shows is, you know, I can have conversations with just about, you know, anybody that I would like to talk to, and have an excuse for doing that. You know, if I didn't have a radio show like this, you know, that comes on before yours, I would probably have to come up with some, yeah, it'd be tough to come up with an excuse that would satisfy my wife while, you know, I'm going to spend a couple hours on the phone with these incredibly cool people I would love to talk to, you know, not being paid to do it, though. So what are we going to do? Man. Well, let's put it on the radio and let other people enjoy it, too.
Well, I think you really, you've hit a good point there, is that it does give you a good excuse. And the point of this, this now internet revolution as it is, I think it's that anybody with a camera or a microphone now has an excuse to interview anybody they've ever wanted to interview in their life. Okay, it's like, I don't care who your hero is, whether it's G. Edward Griffin or Lindsay Williams or Bob Chapman or any of these various eclectic, and there's so many really, really interesting, cool people in the truth movement who have amazing stuff that they've done in their lives, and they're usually all willing to share it openly and, of course, for free. You know, they never demand any money for these interviews because, again, as I said, they're not in it for that. It's simply a matter of being able to slot in and what's actually worth their time, because that is where the value is in this movement nowadays, I think, is actually people's time. Are they spending it properly? Are they doing something that they really want to do? Are they doing something that's actually going to be beneficial for themselves or other people, sort of thing?
Absolutely right. And that's why we need to think about trying to stay positive with each other. You know, since the only kind of recompense that we're getting for this is enjoying it, you know, we might as well really keep it positive and have some fun with each other, you know, not get into too many of these, you know, flame war type situations where, you know, there are people who get, you know, into this narcissism of small differences where, you know, one person, you know, has a very slightly different opinion with the other person on, you know, what happened at the Pentagon, or, you know, how the Twin Towers were blown up, or, you know, whether the, you know, Ron Paul is the way to go, or is he too, you know, economically conservative, or whatever. These kinds of little differences where people take them and run with them, and then they get fighting with each other. And up to a point, that can be fun. You know, fighting can be fun if you do it right, but it's better to pick the right target. See, personally, I don't like to get involved in these little flame wars with people within the truth movement, because for the most part, they don't really deserve it. You know, there are a few who do. The ones who come after me repeatedly, then, okay, they're asking for it, I'll throw something back at them. But generally, that's not the way to go. What's a lot more fun is to go after the people who deserve it. That's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It actually is a heck of a lot of fun. Like, I've ambushed our Prime Sinister, our former Prime Sinister, our former heads of finance, and our former mayors, and all of these assorted scum while they're in their positions of power or that kind of thing. They never expect somebody to come up with a camera and just, you know, nail them kind of thing. And it's so fun doing it. It gives you, like, this real adrenaline rush. And I think you're really right about, we really need to, as truthers, or whatever the heck label you want to put on it, I mean, no label really fits to any of us, really. You have to come together and collaborate on the points that you agree, okay, and the points that you disagree. You can leave those disagreements for another time, most likely a time when you're not about to be exterminated by the people that you both agree are trying to kill you.
That's a very good point.
And to make enemies with other people, I don't do that anymore. Like, I don't come out and attack people. I allow them to attack me first. If somebody wants to start a fight with me, you know, that's cool. I'll make a decision about whether or not they're actually worth having a bit of a talk with, because A1, if there's somebody who's like crazed off their nuts, swearing, violent language, that kind of stuff, it's just a simple mechanism on Skype or Facebook or YouTube. It's called block, and you never hear from them again. And it's great. You almost feel this kind of
right. But I know that feeling of relief you're talking about.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, when you need to pee real bad and you let it out, it's that kind of feeling. It's expelling the junk from your system that you don't need anymore. It's like having a spiritual bowel movement.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've had a few of those. You know, couple times when my plumbing is backed up, and after the spiritual ball movement, the the obnoxious entity has like exploded back up into all over the walls. You know, there's one, you know, a couple of people actually in my activist life who, perhaps it's because I got a lot of publicity at a certain point. These people just have really invested enormous amounts of time and energy and even cunning, I would say, in sort of stalking me. And, like, you know, every time I get a speaking gig, there's this one guy who, you know, spams the people involved with attacks on me and stuff like that. So, you know, I've got stalkers. And that's one of the things I hadn't ever really expected, especially to have stalkers who are supposedly pretend to be pro-truther. That's weird, but it's also kind of amusing in a way. You know, I had somebody dressing up in a V for Vendetta costume stalking me on my West Coast speaking tour last year. So, you know, I guess that's a sign of some sort of success.
There's an old quote from Lancaster bomber pilots in World War II when they were flying over from Britain to do bombing missions in Germany, and the air defences at the time were these flat cannons. You know, they pulled up shells and they have this big black cloud of sort of shrapnel that kind of explodes around the airplanes and shreds through their engines, stuff like that. And the saying was, if you're copping the flak, you're over the target.
Yes, I have heard that, and I think it's absolutely right. And people notice, you know, when people have, you know, made some, you know, had some kind of success, they typically find that, like, shortly after that, somebody starts giving, you know, something happens. People start giving them a hard time. They start getting that flack from somewhere. You know, I think there are sort of, you know, organized entities out there that are ready to throw flack at anybody that they see as starting to be a threat. Personally, I mean, this is just my experience, and maybe it's because I'm Muslim and I'm anti-Zionist, and yet I'm not anti-Semitic, and I'm pretty slick, you know, pretty, you know, personable about the way I talk about these matters, which makes me even more of a threat to the Zionists. That's where I think I've got most of my flack from, is that quarter, you know, people who are fanatically attached to their apartheid Jewish state in Palestine. And, you know, they're pretty well organized, those people. And you know, I don't know, some of these other New World Order forces probably are as well. But that's where I've had the people kind of coming after me.
Yeah. Well, they're the most organized simply because they're the most well-funded. Whereas the truth movement is, I find, incredibly disorganized, but still very, very powerful, despite its lack of organization and
maybe
lack
even
of
because
funding.
Of it.
Yeah, and that makes it so difficult, because how do you cut off the head of an organization or a movement that has no leader?
Well, that's right.
You can't.
If they squash the Kevin Barrett show on American Freedom Radio, the Vinnie Eastwood show is ready to pick up the slack.
Yeah, we're all, it's a team effort, isn't it? You know, New World Order's figured it out that all you got to do is divide people. Based upon whatever little differences, you know, you're Muslim, I'm Christian, he's Asian, he's black, blah, 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 that kind of thing. All those tiny little insignificant differences, those are the things that are used to keep people in a box, keep them caged, so that they don't realize that, hey, we can actually pick the lock if you do that half and I do this half, okay? If we work together, we find out that cooperation is the most efficient form of resistance, not competition.
Absolutely. Because their big strategy is divide and conquer. It always has been. They even do it within the Muslims. They get the Sunnis fighting the Shiites, fighting the Sufis. You know, they split people off into the different groups in Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan. And then they watch the Muslims killing each other and you know, sit back and laugh. And they do the same thing to any kind of movement that has the potential to get in the way of their move towards a one-world dictatorship. And the only way to fight back, I guess, is to reach out to all of the 99% plus who are on the right side of this and whose interests are not aligned with the interests of these powers that be. And, you know, befriend each other, have a good time, work together, and recognize that, as you say, Vinny, you know, it's not about our religious identity or racial or national identity. It's really about our common humanity.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to thank you, Kevin, for coming on with us today. And also, can you give us your website a quick plug so people can check out more of your work?
Sure. It's truthjihad.com, and you can get to the radio page and the blog from there.
Exactly. And you can also check them out at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or the radio archives of amazing shows that Kevin has done right there too. And I highly recommend it because I've been listening into a few shows and it's been blowing my mind. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks, Vinny. Keep up the excellent work. I enjoy your stuff too. Take care.
Well, thank you. All right. There he goes. Kevin Barrett, ladies and gentlemen, TruthJihad.com. Coming up in the next hour, goodness knows what. So we're going to open up the caller lines. The caller number, I'd like you to call in right now, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Back in a moment. The virus, alert the masses.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What do we hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Number two of the most psychopathic 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, where psychopathy is our bread and butter. And incidentally, the butter knife is held by a psycho called the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key. And we know which side his bread is buttered on. Now, enough of the bread and butter jokes, because they're just not funny. My very special guest, who knows a lot about psychopaths, is Thomas Sheridan. Welcome to the show, mate, again.
Hey, Vinny, good to hear from you. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for coming on at such short notice. Very much appreciate that, my friend.
Oh, what do you got? You got me at a good time. I just had a nice dinner. I've come back, so I'm, like, relaxed. I'm cool. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's nice to be nice and relaxed when you're dealing with psychos all day long.
The only way to deal with it. So tell me, the Prime Minister of New Zealand is a psychopath? You're joking, right? A politician, a psychopath?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could that possibly be? You know, I mean, they'd have to have very short periods of contact with everybody and have a fake smile and not actually get to spend any real personal time with people so that they'd figure out that there's no depth to their character. Hey, absolutely. Wait a second. That's a politician's job.
No, it's true. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
And can I ask you something? You actually started to get interested in the knowledge of psychopathy once I think a musician friend of yours actually admitted to you that he was a clinically diagnosed psychopath. And it's kind of like most people are almost completely unaware that such a thing exists, let alone exists right in front of their face.
Yeah, he wasn't a musician. He was a Wall Street banker. And
of course he was. Only because,
exactly. It was only because he'd been mental for so long. His parents sent him to like his top like Manhattan clinic. And that was the only reason he was found out. But he admitted to it to me because he thought it was kind of like a rock and roll kind of thing. Like it was like, I'm a psychopath, you know, that kind of thing. But that just shows you how out of touch with reality they are.
Well,
that
think
he actually
about
tried to get away with it.
Well, how does one actually identify a psychopath, like let's say in the modern world? Because I think it was the American Medical Journal. I think this might have been back in 2005, 2006. They defined a psychopath as somebody who's very nice and friendly and smiley when you first meet them and that kind of thing, but there's ultimately no depth to their character, they don't have any long-lasting relationships, and they ultimately don't actually care about anybody other than themselves. And the three most likely industries you are to find such individuals is where the power centers are. They were business, politics, and entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not far from the truth. The first actual real insight was a guy called Herbie Kleckby, who was an American psychologist back in the 1940s. And he basically defined it as somebody who has a sort of a shallow intellect coupled with an impulse and a need to sort of deceive people through fake personas. So that's basically what they are. They're sort of like character actors. The personality doesn't really exist. It's a sort of a persona that they put on top of themselves, and they use it to manipulate whoever they want. Like, for instance, if I was a psychopath and I wanted to get into, I don't know, anything, beekeeping, because I was targeting this woman who was like who had a nice big house and I wanted to live there, I'd pretend to be a beekeeper. And then after I was finished with her, if I met somebody who was like a communist, I'd pretend to be a communist, but I'd do it in a very, it's almost a corny way. I'd be walking around with like copies of Engels' Das Kapital or Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto, which I wouldn't have actually read, but it's just sort of like a show. It's like a facade, and that's what psychopaths are. They'll put on any act and any name and any persona to get what they want out of people. Anything from sex to a place to live, to running a whole country. So it's the perfect job for a psychopath as a politician.
Well, yeah. And not to mention, psychopaths are blessed with a lack of conscience, so they have no emotional consequences for their actions. If they were to, let's say, I don't know, be responsible for the death of 1 million Iraqis, let's say, he wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
Oh, yeah, it's just business. It's what I had to do to get elected. It's what I had to do to get the job done, get that big pharma contract, get that military job, to get my Nobel Peace Prize. Like, you have the cerebral psychopath who pretends he'll get into a position of politics or academia or media and then pretend that he or she is some kind of, like, great intellectual mind, you know, and it's all part of the same facade. It's all about ego polishing.
Yes. Well, they say you can't polish a turd, but when it comes to these people, actually, it's like, we had Kevin Barrett on just before, and he talked about these people who dressed up in V for Vendetta costumes and stalking him and stuff like that. It's basically like this. If you're going to act like a really, really bad person, you want to conceal your identity, okay, while you're being a bad person.
Yeah.
For a psychopath, it's slightly different. It's they conceal their identity because they are a bad person, even though they may not be doing things that are very obvious to people that are very, very bad things. But they conceal that from others because of are they afraid of being found out simply because they know the consequences, or does fear not actually enter into their emotional spectrum?
It's a different kind of fear. It's not the fear that we have, like the bullshit we deal with in life that politicians and corporations give to us, where we're
speaking speaking of BS, we have to say BS instead of the full thing, because we have to deal with the BS of the FCC, who I just want to give a little FU to.
Yeah. I'm sorry, FCC and American radio. Okay, the BS of the BS is presented in an overt way. For instance, like, it's very interesting you said that about the anonymous mask guys. They'll always select a persona that's based around sort of like a populist thing. Now, I'm sure like Occupy Wall Street and Occupy this, that, and the other is full of nice people who mean well, but it will be now currently a magnet for all kinds of psychopaths who want to wrap themselves up in a self-righteous persona. That's going to be a huge thing. And the Truther movement before that was the same way too. And the unfortunate thing about that is it takes away from the real genuine message of the genuine, you know, person who's pissed off, or I don't know if I can say that, sorry, the genuine person who's annoyed at the system, annoyed at the control system for very real and very, you know, honest and straightforward and understandable reasons. The psychopath will jump in on that. If that changed next year and fascism came back in, which is very likely in Europe as the European Union seems to be devoted to creating fascism again, and then they're the same ones who are currently like politically correct socialist, occupy this, that, and the other. Next year, those psychopaths will be fascists. Whatever is popular, these predators will attach themselves to.
Well, yeah, and the term predator, and I love the movie Predator. I got to say, it actually really does kind of strike me as something about the sort of a callous alien who takes trophies from creatures that it feels are a challenge or a pride installation to kill sort of thing. You know, I want to be the biggest and the baddest. I want to show everybody off what all the stuff that I've got, kind of thing. And is that why psychos are obsessed with accumulating external wealth, because they're in total poverty inside?
Spot on, Vinny. That's right on the money. The psychopath, my next book that's coming out in March is called Defeated Demons, and it's going to be Puzzling People Part 2. And there's some amazing science that's come out in recent times that they have a hyperactive reptilian complex. The brain is built of three stages. The reptilian complex, which is our primitive and
fight or flight.
Exactly. Then the mammalian complex, and then the frontal cortex, which is the human complex. The psychopath seems to be trapped in the neurochemical, neurobiological, neuroelectrical sense within the reptilian complex. So they have that reptilian fear, that need to destroy others, that need to pass on their DNA. And imagine a psychopath is more close to a gecko running through the desert, terrified it's going to be eaten by an eagle or a mongoose. And it'll do anything to stay alive, even though it's a human. Within human society, its mindset is predominantly a reptilian mindset, and that's where it comes from. Now, they're still humans, but they may be a subspecies, an evolutionary tangent that's spread off to attack us. The science is still out on that, but it's definitely what I think it is. Now, to me, being the kind of fella I am, I very much believe in the whole idea of consciousness, and that we're actually consciousness beings that use our five senses and our nervous system to actually experience this reality. So a psychopath will build itself a predatorial brain, a predator neurological system. They have no need for compassion and the limbic regions of their brain. So they live in the predator reptilian cortex of their brain. And
Are these people actually born this way? Because I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and he said that it's when you're a young child and you are being abused, particularly sexually abused, that capacity for compassion, the capacity to go outside of the reptilian brain and to almost develop even further, is basically you can only develop those skills if you experience love and compassion and that kind of thing while you're a child. Once you've passed the age of 7, allegedly, you can no longer open up those pathways. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it's bollocks on one level. Sorry, can I say bollocks on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's bollocks on one level, in the sense that a lot of psychopaths who are natural born psychopaths will use these kind of excuses. The idea of 7 years old is a very Jesuitical thing. The whole thing, give me the child until he's 7 and I'll give you the man. That's a very Jesuit thing. Now, yes, if a child is molested or beaten as a child, they can grow up to be a kind of a proto psychopath where it's lashing out at the world, but it can be cured. You know, it can be cured. A true psychopath is a very different thing. They're born that way. Is it genetic? It could be, but it could not be at the same time. There's no hardcore evidence to prove it's genetic. It's almost like psychopaths. Now, I'm talking about a pure-born psychopath, one who's a predator from birth. They're almost like a predatory savant. You know, like a kid who can show up in a family who's no musicians and he's an amazing piano player. That kind of thing, they're like that. So it's almost like an inactive DNA sequence that may be switched on somehow. But it's not genetic. It definitely isn't. Well, it hasn't been proven so far.
Well, some people have been talking about sort of a religious sort of puritanical aspect to this, is that that these people are actually possessed by some sort of demonic entity to a degree. Does that hold any credence for you?
Well, in terms of, like, the term I use is consciousness parasite, it's almost like that. Now, many people who've been ravaged by a psychopath, say they married one or something like that, or had a business with them, they will, like, even intelligent and even very atheistic people have contacted me to say they felt like they were dealing with a demon. So yes, we know where demons come from. It's definitely not, I wouldn't say plausible, but completely understandable. That I'm open to anything, but the word I would use, the term I would use, would be consciousness parasite.
Consciousness parasite. So it's actually sort of like a is it an organic entity or is it an etheric entity? This is the thing. When we talk about consciousness and all of that kind of stuff, it seems to blur the lines between what's actually physically there and actually detectable in the brain, detectable in the heart or the soul or whatever, and of course that other element there, which is the conditioning that people might have, or the it might be genetic, it might be otherwise, it might be demonic possession. It's not a very physical and reality science-based element, yet it still needs to be looked upon with great scrutiny because there's elements that cannot be explained by on the scientific side of things. Do you ever wonder about that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all those things, Vinny. It's like the consciousness parasite could be actually seen as the control system that embeds itself into our minds, the Babylonian, you know, the Babylonian mindset that has been tearing the human condition apart for the last 3,500 years. It could also be seen as an individual who's a psychopathic individual. It's a combination of all those things. Will we ever find the true meaning to it? I don't know. It's very difficult. Will we find it in genetics? We might. Will we find it in spirituality? We might. Will we find it in consciousness? Pretty well might find that that. But ultimately, we don't know what consciousness is. We don't know what it is at the root. I'm in Ireland, you're in New Zealand. Ultimately, we're connected to the same collective consciousness. It's just that here we are on the internet in 2012. We're able to communicate through technology. So therefore, you and I may be two mates in the same room or the same pub having a laugh, but we're still, the consciousness has now been glued together, but it's always been there at some level. From my own point of view, I think it's an evolutionary tangent where the psychopath is a break off of some kind, and the reason they exist is exactly the wake up movement we have now. We're breaking off, and people like you and I and everyone else who's in the alternative, the wake up, whatever you want to call that movement, are now saying, well, the hell with this. The human race is being attacked by something that isn't us, and it's now time for us to take charge of this problem and then deal with it. And that's what I ultimately feel it is, an evolutionary issue.
Yeah, I tend to agree. We have a caller on the line here, Tim in Wisconsin. We'll go to you just after this break. I hope you can hold on there. And I also want to bring on my somewhat fabulous former producer, Mr. Mitch Santel, with Thomas Sheridan when we come back from break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can put questions in there for our guests. It's a nice little mashup show for you today. So thank you very much for listening. We'll be right back after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah, you know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant, because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices steadied above $16.50 an ounce despite profit taking in a weaker dollar. Gold last traded at $16.57, silver at $30.62 an ounce. Gold is still in a super bull market, according to one senior editor at CNBC. After bottoming out the last day of 2011, gold is up 5% for the year compared to 3.9% for the S&P 500. As long as print and inflate is policy, this bull market will continue. You know, the highway to a socialist welfare state is a carpet of government fiat paper, writes Craig Smith and Lowell Ponte in a new white paper, Remaking Money. The path back to practical and moral values of America's founders requires to restore the precious metals they constitutionally specified as real money. Everyone decided to convert his or her paper money into metal and stopped accepting paper money, wrote Alan Greenspan. Government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been a Rio,
oh, yeah.
Chicago,
Fargo. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's going out everywhere, man. Coming out on internet streams, AM, FM, radio, and various alien antenna that's plugged into your brain pan schism. My very special guest is Thomas Sheridan, live from Ireland. And I wanted to just quickly go to our caller, Tim in Wisconsin. And after him is Mr. Mitch Sentell, my former producer, calling in. Tim, welcome to the program again.
Hi. The thing that I thought of saying that I think I can make tie in to the subject of psychopaths that you're talking about is by by saying how sure I am that it's the psychopaths that have got the most of the dumb public to be so brainwashed in every time there's a problem going to the government also when it comes to like the case of the of their of people that when they don't find hardly any garden tool companies even anywhere near their area then they go to the government government fix this fix that. And that's where I can help, also, having to say, like Dean Clifford, said on that video, with, you and him, start a GD, company, yourself that, makes them, that makes garden tools proper.
Yeah, and the thing is, psychopaths make themselves obsolete fairly quickly, don't they?
I think that's a great point, that is it, Tim, that you brought up, this sort of planned obsolescence. What they do is the sort of corporate psychopaths create like products and stuff like that, that they don't work as well as they used to. Like I have like tools in my garden that are like from Victorian times and they will never break. And it's like now I buy like a DVD player or an MP3 player and it's smashed after a year. And that's how a psychopath thinks. They create products that are useless because for a long period of time, and that's because they see people the same way. People are only expendable to them over a short period of time. So I think that's a very astute observation you made, and I agree completely.
So Tim, thank you very much for your call. We've got to get to our next caller there, and I hope you enjoy your weekend, mate. Thanks so much. Okay. Our next caller here, Mitch Santel, coming as live from the Island Change Nation of New Zealand. In fact, he's calling in from just up the road from me. Mitch, welcome to the program.
Hello there, young man.
Can you hear me, Vinny? Today, Mitch? Yeah, we can hear you just fine, mate.
Well, I was very inspired to call in for a couple of reasons today, because something happened in New Zealand that's never happened before.
Elaborate.
Are you ready? Well, the lead story on the on the cover of the New Zealand Herald is that internet millionaire Kim Schmitz, which you probably have already covered on your show today, was arrested on the North Shore of New Zealand and is now sitting in jail, and it's going to be extradited back to the Fourth Reich. And
is he a New Zealand citizen?
No, sir, he's not. He's actually a I believe he's a German citizen, and because of this battle over the, the Stop the Piracy Act, which, people around the world have been fighting and taking their websites down and everything, this guy on the North Shore, about 30 minutes from where I live on the west side, Kim Schmitz, he's on the cover of the New Zealand Herald. He owns the website Mega Upload, and he, along with three other people, their cars were confiscated, their house was locked, he's a multimillionaire, and he is getting on an Air New Zealand flight next week and is going back to America to be arraigned and to go to trial for copyright infringement. Now, what's interesting about the story, Vinny, is this is the absolute first time in the history of New Zealand, and I've seen the video from Reuters, that someone's been extradited from New Zealand to the United States, ever.
Well, we have a very, shall we say, United States-leaning prime minister at the moment. I mean, he travels to the United States almost regularly, because he used to work in New York, Wall Street, and at the Federal Reserve Bank there. And incidentally, when they have a massive crisis with derivatives, it's actually John Key who Timmy Geithner and all the rest of them ask questions to solve their freaking crisis that they've made. Why? Because he was the one who did all the trading back there. So I think it's very much a very good point that you raise here, is that being the first person to ever be extradited from New Zealand to the United States, that sets a precedent doesn't it? Considering the guy's not even a U.S. citizen, okay, and a citizen of Germany, living in New Zealand, being extradited to the United States for copyright infringement. Okay, this is just nuts.
It's totally nuts, and I got to tell you, Vinny, the other interesting thing is, I never thought I would say this, but there was an article that was sent to me today. It actually came out on the 10th of January, and the article is entitled, "Dear Americans, we are all surrounded." So I'll go ahead and send you the link to the article, Vinny. But for the first time, it's no longer about Americans leaving America, because even though the fake stream media will tell you that, you know, oh, yeah, you know, there's 3 million Americans living abroad, there's actually 80 million Americans that have exited the United States in the last 5 years. And here's the biggest news of all. The number one thing that Americans are asking for when they leave the country is how they can revoke their U.S. citizenship.
And aren't they being revoked in record numbers? You once told me that you had contact with a guy in, was it Australia, who does that for a business?
I just talked to him today. I just talked to him today, and he was like, yeah, this is the number one. He's an attorney in Australia. The number one thing he's being requested is, it used to be Americans wanting to find a safe place to not end up in a FEMA camp. But now, at the end of the day, Vinny, they want to revoke their citizenship because Americans around the world are a bit paranoid about just being arrested and put back on a plane. And my own son, who's 24, finally woke up and he said, "Dad, it's great that you and Mom have no debts anymore." You know, so.
Yeah, well, so see, it's understandable that Americans would want to get rid of their citizenship nowadays, but the irony is that this guy right here, as we were mentioning before, being from Germany, so living in New Zealand, still gets extradited anyway, American citizenship or not. So it's I'm sure your friend is very happy to take Americans' money and give them that kind of peace of mind that, yes, I'm no longer an American citizen, I can't be arbitrarily executed under the NDAA anymore, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, they just do it anyway, don't they? They care not what your paperwork is.
The reality is they're going to come for all of us anyway, Vinny. And even though I've not had the glorious opportunity to produce your show on a daily basis, I'm quietly behind the scenes, you know, doing what I can to help people. And I don't know. It's really interesting. There's nowhere to hide anymore, people. So you need to know this. During the 4 years and 4 months that I've been in New Zealand, my stress has been about each time, because I'm a middle-aged man, how I'm going to renew my work permit. But things are now getting so bad. It's like the movie Poltergeist, Vinny. It's like, they're here. So now it's not even a matter of getting a work permit in New Zealand. It's how do you get out of the Fourth Reich? How do you rescind your citizenship? And even today I went in and watched the Obama speech from the 2004 Democratic Convention, and I don't know. I think things are going to get really bizarre.
As if they aren't already. Thomas, what's your take on all this?
It's very strange. The largest immigrant group in Ireland is Americans. We have, and then Polish. I can't go around this country without hearing an American accent everywhere. So there's definitely some truth to that. Why, I don't know. You see, you have to remember, it's not an American thing. It's America has the biggest military, it's got the most powerful government, so it's the psychopaths against the human race. And the psychopaths, just like they had been taken care, you know, just like in the past they had ruled the British Empire, the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, they're now taking control of the American Empire, to use the American Empire to attack the rest of us. So it's not an American thing versus the rest of us. That's a very... unfortunately, you see, the American people are the first victims of all this. And it's just they're just like the Roman citizens were the first victims of the Roman Empire and the British. Like, the British Empire, for all its power and everything, you have people in the north of England or east end of London who were no better off than people in the west of Ireland or the Punjab in terms of their economic benefit. So we always have to bear in mind it's psychopaths against the rest of us. Yes, I'm amazed by how many American people I meet all over Ireland. It's incredible. And they just, and the same reason, they always say the same thing. It's the lack, I left America because of the lack of privacy and the evasion of my life. And things like the just the sheer expense of things, you know, being.
I have a shared experience. I have a shared experience with that because I notice it's not the the dumb kind of we vaccinate ourselves hardcore, we love Barack Obama Americans that emigrate. Okay, it's the intelligent ones who know what's going on and can see what's coming who emigrate. So you know, it's like. You don't lose anything by allowing these sort of American immigrants into your country at all. You actually gain. It's almost like they raise the IQ of your country because they're people who actually the traditional American, which is the nice people who are innovative, creative, and freedom loving, and very very onto it. General, those are the kind of people who actually get out of America. And my and Mitch, you're one of those people. Sort of thing, and I'm acting under the assumption that you're not the only one, the only American that you've met since you've come to New Zealand who fits that description, are you?
No, I'm not. And the bizarre thing that I've witnessed over the last 6 months, more than any other time during my stay in New Zealand, is the Americanization of New Zealand. There are so many things that they are attempting to do to Americanize New Zealand. And the thing that really bothers me, Vinny, is as an example, is after I visit your website, of course, the Vinny Eastwood Show, and I visit Guerrilla News Media, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the only true independent news media on the net in New Zealand, just so you know. But I visit your site every day, and the bizarre thing is I was over at DredgeReport.com this morning, and, you know, Ron Paul has a huge following in America, and he wasn't even, there was not one story, Vinny, about Ron Paul today at Drudge Report. Not one.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I think that what we really have to do is realize that it's no longer borders that separate us. It's no longer our ideology that separates us. It's the lies that are told to us that we believe that separate us, telling us that, yes, you are an American, you're a New Zealander, or that problem's over there, it can never come here. That sort of mentality will wind up destroying all of us and all of our nations in their entirety if we keep going down that road. Stop buying into the lie. Don't be a sucker. That's basically the new mantra that people have to pick up. The difficulty is that people actually need to become a bit more educated in the first place to even notice that they're being lied to. And because denial is the strongest river on earth, it's hard to fight against the current.
Spot on, Vinny. Yeah, that's the whole thing. We have to see that we're all the same human beings at the end of the day. And the internet is phenomenal for that. You know, I was saying there last night that the internet's the best thing since fire. In the olden days, fire was used to protect humans from predators during the night. And now we have the internet. You know, you in New Zealand, that gentleman from America, we're all brothers and sisters at the end of the day against the psychopathic control grid.
Yeah, exactly. Mitch, final words before we go to break?
All I can say, Vinny, is keep up the great work. I really honor and acknowledge you for how hard, you know, you work on your show every day and all the great things that you do. And I really am enjoying today's guest and today's show. But again, we really have set a new precedent as it relates to taking someone who's not even an American citizen, arresting them, putting them in jail, and shipping them off to the United States of America. It's bizarre.
And I think that'll be the newest export industry that New Zealand will profit from, I'm sure.
Of course, because they can send a bill to the Justice Department. Anyway, yeah. Have a great show, Vinny. Thanks for having me on, man.
You're welcome, Mitch. Anytime, mate. You have yourself a fabulous New World Order day.
I will. Talk soon, bro.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, just remember the whole Doctor Who principle. He laughs in the face of danger and death. and fear and tyranny, because it's when you start to laugh at and ridicule the scumbaggery filth that wind up trying to attack you and kill you and destroy you and make your country into a slave bondage society. That's when they lose all their power and they get frustrated and angry and start making mistakes. And when people make mistakes, they expose themselves for the psychos they really are. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
But there's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Bonkers. We'll be right back.
pop just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most bonkers 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood show. Vinnie Eastwood and Friends show, I guess, you know. That's one of the things I was talking with Kevin Barrett about in the first hour there, Thomas, is that there's a lot of cool people in this movement. And when you have a radio show, it gives you an excuse to talk to them. And that's really good. It's kind of like... it's like a talk radio version of cigarettes, you know, like a social lubricant or some description.
Yeah, it's true. The nicest people I've ever met is through this whole scene. And they're very open-minded. And I love that about them. And they're very kind and they're very decent at heart. And that's an important, that's what we need to hang on to. We need to hang on to our humanity.
Yeah, yeah. And you also have a new book coming out. I'd love you to sort of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I have the follow-up to Puzzling People, which was a big success, which surprised even me how well it did. It's called Defeated Demons, Liberation from Consciousness Parasites and Psychopathic Society. It's like Puzzling People Part 2, except it'll be more of a philosophical approach to the whole issue of good versus evil. Try to find meaning from human suffering, and then we can move on to try and make ourselves a better life from where we're standing right now. So that's coming out in March. I have a lot of gigs coming up in the UK. I'm in Manchester on February 4th. I'm doing an all-day event there, and it's going to be feckin' mind-blowing. It's going to be basically clearing a consciousness of all the sort of, like, the rubbish they put into it. And then I got a few tours. Like, I'm doing, like, Brighton, Bath, and Bournemouth in England in the early part of March. So there's loads of things happening. So it's people should look out for that. But the book is called Defeated Demons, Liberation from Consciousness Parasites in Psychopathic Society, coming out in March.
Okay, well, it's a good idea to probably read that. And the thing is, very few people read these days, so to actually have a successful book release is quite a rarity, and it means that you have to basically be talking about something that people are so interested in that they feel that they really can't live without that kind of information, you know? And yeah. Talking about psychopaths, I think, is the kind of information you really can't live without, and in some cases, quite literally.
Yeah, the thing is with the reading today, the right kind of people are reading. The kind of people we need to actually move the human experience forward are still reading. The rest of them are watching the Kardashians and the Big Brother shows and all that other rubbish. But the people who are really pushing forward the human race are still reading. They're reading books. They're reading websites, they're reading blogs, they're learning, they're expanding their consciousness, and they're moving forward. So it's always a small minority. And they're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show and programs like this, and they're always thinking, conceptualizing cognitive processes going forward. And that's the important thing, Vinnie. As you and I know, we've spoke about this before, the important thing is not so much the destination, but the journey along the way. That's where you really nail it. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Once you're constantly moving forward, exploring, gaining knowledge, learning, thinking about it. And that's the thing the psychopathic control grid hates. It hates human beings who think, process, and have a cognitive approach towards things. And so that's why shows like yours are so important, and programs and stations like this are just amazing, because it that dialogue between the subconsciousness and the consciousness brings us all forward in the end.
Is it jealousy? Do psychopaths actually feel jealous of other people? Because we can think, we can feel, and they can't. Do they have that kind of mindset at all?
Oh, absolutely. It's an envy. You know, you have the cerebral psychopath who tries to portray himself or herself as this sort of, you know, sage of wisdom and knowledge. And all they can do is post, you know, Google or Wikipedia links, but they can't really have a debate. And if you try to have a debate with them, they'll call you a conspiracy theorist, a retard, a moron, a hysteric. And that's the psychopathic control grid's way of shutting down freedom of information. Yes, they're fundamentally lazy and they're fundamentally terrified of people who can think for themselves because they can't think for themselves. They're robots who regurgitate what they hear. That's why the control system adores them, because they'll do exactly what they're told and they will be the bulldogs of the system. You think of the sort of Victorian mentality of Aldous Huxley and, you know, those kinds of people, and Julian Huxley. They were very much in their work would talk about, and even H.G. Wells, about the person who could think for themselves, how we should shut them out of society. You know, George Bernard Shaw, the Irish playwright, spoke about humanely murdering them, you know, and this is like what we're up against. They're terrified of people like you, me, and all the victims of psychopaths who can think for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sometimes it becomes sort of a difficulty to just process it in and of itself. And I find that the more input you have from the more people, the better. And in that spirit, we actually have a caller on the line here, Chris Vortex from the Uber Kingdom. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. What's up, my friend?
Yeah, I haven't heard your show in a while, and it is surprising to hear Thomas on the line again. I was just thinking, I mean, obviously all people that mess you about are not all psychopaths, but, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't expect to be found out, and then they seem to have such arrogance, like they rule. And then they leave little clues around here and there, and then you see them. It's like, these people are idiots. And it's just like they're freaks, and then people don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, Chris. The thing is that the psychopaths are very enabler-dependent, and the ones in power are very much dependent upon their own enablers. These would be like the sort of like professional debunkers and all these other idiots who unconditionally defend the system. But they're not psychopaths themselves. They're just what, like, you know, what Stalin called the useful idiots.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of those around.
Because I don't think they're all psychopaths. Yeah, because they do seem to have some soul in there. It's just that they just seem like freaks.
Yeah. Well, you know, they wouldn't be the first person to devote themselves to something that's complete BS and defend it to the death, would they?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just wondering how much you should really protect yourself, because, I mean, I'm now thinking about doing my own radio show, and before I was just being bad about things and, you know, not letting myself move forward, but now I'm just letting myself develop.
Well, see, I don't like to promote sweatshops, but Nike had it right. Just do it. You know, you've got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose that they're going to just take from you anyway.
Everybody has a story to tell. Like, I can remember, like, you know, I've been, like, the most remote parts of Ireland, I'd meet a toothless farmer on a hill, and these would be the most intelligent people I ever met compared to sort of a word salad spewing intellectual, you know, professor from Dublin. It's just like that.
Everybody and truckers, for example, some of the brightest sparks you'll ever hear, because they're trucking for long, long hours, and they're always listening and absorbing new information. They listen to audiobooks while they're doing their routes and stuff like that, and you get them calling into talk radio all the time with this amazing thoughts, and it just goes to show you, doesn't matter how many letters before or after your name, you can be a pretty interesting champ with plenty of interesting things to say. So, Chris, you know, if you want to start a radio show, there's nothing to stop you. And that's what I encourage everybody to do, is to just do it, okay? Because ultimately, this is the only time you'll ever have to do it.
It's just a confidence thing, because you do care and because you have feelings, and then you let things get to you. And I'm just wondering how much should we allow our feelings to show, and how much should we become robotic, you know? Because I want to be real.
I just wear my heart on my sleeve and chips fall where they may, because I realise that if I'm not genuine, it's a heck of a lot more of an effort to keep up a facade. And I think that's the problem with psychos, and why they get so crazy after a while is because they've been living a lie so long that they forget who they are anymore.
That's brilliant, Finney, because that's exactly what it is. And that's why they all like go to doo-doo when they're in their 50s, and they just have burnt out from all the fake personas. And Chris, keep it real, keep it yourself, and don't never ever be put off by putting your feelings out there, because ultimately that's what a human being is. It's a consciousness expression through emotion in this reality, so never ever hold back on that.
And you shouldn't feel sorry then for the other people. Sorry, should I end it now?
Certainly don't feel sorry for yourself, because that'll only make you depressed and unhappy. And quite frankly, who's got time to be depressed and unhappy when you can be absolutely over the moon and overjoyed because you get to interview fabulous people like Thomas Sheridan and talk to great people in the UK like Chris? You know, see, that's the way I look at it. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in to this stellar episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, surprisingly so. And we will be back again sometime for your listening orgasmic pleasure.